This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, the title of my sermon, we're going to focus this morning on God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. You know, when you get saved, God becomes your Heavenly Father, and that's awesome. And so we're going to look at the names of God this morning, the Hebrew names of God, and how that connects us to the fatherhood of God. And just we get a revelation of who God is. And I think it will help us when we're relating to God in prayer. Amen. And also it will help us when we're walking this faith life to understand really the God that we serve. And if you know God, you can do anything. And I'm telling you, I'm endeavoring to get you to know God more. And that's what I want. I want you guys to know God more. And I love this. And so we're looking at the Hebrew names of the Jehovah names of God this morning. And we're starting off with one of the most important names of God. And it's Jehovah Rohi. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's Hebrew, so Jehovah Rohi, which means that God is our shepherd. God's our shepherd. You got to get a revelation of that God is your shepherd. And probably one of the greatest psalms that was ever written about God being our shepherd is Psalms 23. Anybody love Psalms 23 out here? Yeah. Psalms 23 is powerful. And I love this. And really, in Psalms 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And so the Heavenly Father is our shepherd. And I love that because, we shall not want for any good thing. In other words, God has our back. Amen. He has your back. You got to believe that God is watching over you like a shepherd is watching over you. Amen. And he's watching you because how many people could have gotten in a car accident lately? Amen. And you missed that car accident because God is watching over you. Amen. And you have divine protection. Somebody say amen on that. So I love that. So God is watching over us. And number one, God leads us and feeds us naturally and spiritually. He leads us and feeds us naturally and spiritually. The Bible actually says this: those that fear God will never go hungry. Amen. If you just fear God, you won't go hungry. God will make sure that you will be blessed. Amen. And God will get food to your household. I remember Brother Hagin was in a tight spot with his family. He was low on funds and he was just believing God for food. And he told his family, "Don't tell anybody that we need food." In other words, he wanted to put his faith and trust in God, not on trying to manipulate people or try to get people to do things for him. And he said, "Don't tell anybody." And they didn't tell anybody that they needed food. And finally, 2 or 3 days later, the lady comes and knocks on the door and said, "I have all these groceries. And I feel like God's been telling me about 3 days ago to get you some groceries. You probably don't need them." And he just said, "Follow the will of God, sister. Follow the will of God." And so she brought him groceries. What am I saying? God will make sure that you are taken care of as long as you're honoring him. Yes. Amen. Amen. And I love that. And God also, he guides us in greater places of provision. How many people would like to go from just enough to more than enough? I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be a stagnant Christian. And I definitely don't want to be a Christian going backwards. I want to make sure that I'm moving forward in God. Amen. And I love this. And I love this in Psalms 23, 2 and 3, because he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Glory to God. So I love that because Because God brings us into greener pastures, which means that, you know, sheep, they eat off the grass, means they come into a greater place of blessing. And God wants to bring you in a greater place of blessing. Do you believe that today? Amen. And then God protects us from all evil. Yea, though I walk through, in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. I love that. And so I love that because God is protecting us always. He's watching over us no matter how close things can come. Amen. Have you ever had close calls in here? Has anybody ever had a close call? Amen. And you're like, whoo, thank you, Jesus. You protected me from that close call. Amen. I love that. And as natural fathers, because I got to speak to the fathers in here. Is that all right? Can I speak to the fathers in here? Glory to God. And natural fathers, your job is to shepherd your family. What, Pastor? Yes, your job is to shepherd your family. You need to be a strong person in the family, a strong person of faith, of prayer, that your family can lean on. Yeah, amen. Amen? And so your job is to pastor your family. You're the pastor or the shepherd of your family, fathers. Amen. And you need to take that responsibility seriously. Right. So really, your home is your church. Amen. Glory to God. And as you minister to your spouse and your children, and you walk upright before God, they will see that. It says, a man that walks in integrity, his children are blessed that follow after him. Amen. And you will have blessed children. Amen. I love that. And I believe this, that God will strengthen you, fathers, to be the shepherd that God's calling you to be in your families. Just stay in God, stay in His Word, and He will help you lead, guide, and protect your families. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Can I get an amen from the men? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The second name we want to focus on the fatherhood of God, is that God is Jehovah Jireh. Now, most of you have heard that name before. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen? And this really came when Abraham sacrificed his son when he went to go sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord. Amen? And let's just read this account. It says in Genesis 22, 1 and 2, and this is interesting because, you know, he has the promised child. It took 25 years for Abraham to bring and Sarah to bring Isaac into the world. And so he's the promised seed. And it says here in Genesis 22, 1 and 2, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow. This is powerful. And so sometimes God will test our love for him. And sometimes God may want you to maybe give something up. I'm not going to say that God's going to have you sacrifice your children. Amen. But he may have you give something up and let something go so you can get something better. And so sometimes love has to be tested. And sometimes God may ask you, give up Facebook, give up YouTube, get whatever is distracting you from following God. Sometimes you just need to give up TV. What, Pastor? Give up those movies that might be pulling you down. And why? Because God always has something better for you. You believe that today? And now it says here that they, in verse 9 through 14 of Genesis 22, then they came to a place in which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and there behind was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it said in this day, in the mount of the Lord shall be provided. Glory to God. And so we see here that the Lord really provided. He did, in a sense, provide the ram in the thicket. But really, what God really wanted to provide was Jesus, and he did. Because Abraham was willing to give up his son, God matched that sacrifice and gave up his son. Is that powerful? And God gave us his son, Jesus, so that we could walk in victory every day of our lives. Amen. Is that awesome? God will not only match your sacrifice, but God will outdo your sacrifice. I'm talking to somebody today. Whatever you sacrifice for God, God will outdo that and give you a greater blessing for the sacrifice. You believe that today? I love that. And so Abraham was tested. Amen. And so I love that. So we're all going to be tested at times. And so we need to make sure that we pass the test. As natural fathers, we should have a desire to take care of our families. Amen. And I think about my dad. You know, Abraham, you know, took care of his family. He taught them the oracles of God. And we need to make sure that we're taking responsibility and taking care of our family. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. God is so good. And so I love that. And so I love this, that the next heavenly name, one of my favorite names for God in the Bible, one of my favorites, is Jehovah Rapha. Has anybody ever heard of Jehovah Rapha? And I love that for it means it's the Lord that heals us. God is in the healing business. You all know that because I preach on healing once a month. Amen. And I love this because this name was given to the children of Israel when they came through the Red Sea. Then they came through 3 days without water in Exodus 15. And when they came through 3 days, they started crying out to Moses. And God said, cut a tree and let that tree fall in. They tried to drink the water. They found some water and it was bitter. It was bitter to drink. So the water wasn't good. So God told him to cut a tree and put that tree into the water. And it transformed that water to drinking water. You know, that tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Whenever you are dealing with bitterness in your life, just bring the cross of Jesus Christ in your life and it will bring the bitter life sweet. Amen. Can anybody get a revelation on that? Whenever you bring Jesus into your bitter life, you don't get bitter, you get better. Amen. And life gets sweeter and sweeter with Jesus in your lives. Amen. I love it. And I love this in Psalms 107:20. It says here, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Glory to God. That's a promise. In Malachi 4:2, it says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like, and you shall be like fed calves. Amen. I don't know about the fat part. But it says that you be happy. Amen. And it says here that the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings. And so God has healing in his wings. As godly fathers, you can bring healing to your families. You can bring healing to your children by instructing them in the ways of the Lord. Amen. And so this is a way that you can bring healing, because if you have knowledge of God, the knowledge of God can heal your soul. Do you believe that today? In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the Bible tells us that we should train our children in the ways of the Lord. You know, I pray with my children every day, and we are always praying. And if I could get Christopher out here, he could recite the Lord's Prayer to you. Amen. And Christina can too. Amen. And Christian's catching up. Amen. And so they can quote the Lord's Prayer. Some of you might not even be able to quote the Lord's Prayer. I won't go there. But anyway, but they can quote the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because we pray that prayer every day. Amen. Praise God. And sometimes when we're praying, I normally lead. Sometimes Christopher will lead. My Father, our Father who art in heaven, he will try to spill it out really fast because he wants to get back to his game. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And amen. And I'm telling you, he's like, okay, Dad, I got this, you know. And he just spins right through it as fast as he can, like speed racer. Amen. And number two, you can bring healing to your children's life by disciplining them. What? Yes, sometimes you need to bring discipline to your children. Sometimes your children might need, you know, some discipline to get them, you know, walk in the straight and narrow. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So it's okay to discipline your children. Amen. And glory to God, to get them in a place where they're walking with God. Now, this is what's powerful. God will also, he will discipline his children. You know, God will discipline us. But it's for a good outcome. If I'm walking on a wrong road, if I'm on the path of destruction, I want to welcome, as a Christian, I want to welcome God to discipline me. Amen. I want that discipline. Why? Because I don't want to go down the primrose path of destruction and end up in a bad place. I want to make sure I'm not sowing bad seed. I don't want to reap a bad harvest. And so it says here in Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How many people like to have that peaceful fruit of righteousness working in your life? I remember that I kind of, you know, played around in high school my last senior year. I wasn't too focused. I just kind of had fun my senior year. And I needed to pass two classes to walk with my class. And I was failing two classes, and I had to pass these exams. Anybody remember exams at the end of the year when you were in school? And I had to pass two of the exams. And I remember my dad said to me, son, do you want to walk with your class? Yeah. He said, well, you need to get serious. And at that time, I could leave school early because I was in a DECA marketing program where you could work, and you didn't have to go to school. I was only taking four classes, normally six classes. So I went ahead and took two study halls back to back, amen, with my dad suggesting. And instead of me driving to school, I had my own car, I took the bus. Amen. You know, that's humbling. That's real humbling for me back at that time. And I found somebody in a bus that was a brainiac. And she tutored me in one of my classes. And I ended up passing and walking with my class. Glory to God. I'm glad my dad pulled me aside and gave me that son talk. Glory to God. Every once in a while, fathers, you may not, they might be too old for you to spank them, but you still can give them a good talking and let them know that they need to walk the straight and narrow. Am I talking to anybody today? Amen. And I believe that. Fathers can bring healing to children by comforting them. Sometimes even, you know, children, and even as children are grown, they can go through a lot of stuff. But fathers, you can be a mentor to your children. And the Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, talking about God our Father, comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So fathers, you've been comforted by the Lord, and pass that comfort to your children. Glory to God. Number four, you can bring healing to your children if they are sick by praying for them.
That's right. Amen.
See, I'm telling you, fathers, you're the pastor of your house. And yes, I as a pastor can come over and pray, but you know what? You can stand in the gap for your children and you can pray for them. And ladies, you can do the same thing. Amen. And it says here in James 5:15, and the prayer NIV, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So I really believe this, that God wants everybody praying for the sick. It's not just for the pastor to pray for the sick. You all have the power to pray for the sick because you have the name of Jesus, and that name is above every name. And I'm going to say this, you can even pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. And some of you might need to pray for yourself every once in a while. If you can't get a hold of the pastor, lay hands on yourself and in the name of Jesus, command that pain to go. Amen. If you got a backache, command that backache to go. And like this morning, my back was aching and I forgot to ask God to command it to go. So I had my wife step on my back. Glory to God. That's almost as good as calling on the name of Jesus. Get your wife, just lay on that floor and have your wife do a jujitsu on your back. Amen. I'm telling you, that felt so good. Amen. Hallelujah. And my back is feeling a lot better today. I didn't use the name, but I need to start learning to use it. Amen. The fourth name I want to talk about, God, our Heavenly Father, is Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi. And this means the Lord is our banner. You could say the Lord is our victory banner. And so when Moses was in the wilderness with the children of Israel, they came across some hostile people in the wilderness that didn't want the children of Israel to cross over their territory called the Amalekites. And the Amalekites waged war on the Israelites. And so Joshua with the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And Moses was there. And this is a story where Moses had to raise his hands to the Lord. And he had, you know, two of his top guys help him raise his hand because his hands were going down. Aaron and Hur were the ones that helped him raise his hands. And when he raised his hands up, they were winning the battle.
Amen.
That's powerful. This is really has some spiritual significance to it because sometimes we might find ourselves in a battle. Have anyone ever found themselves in a battle in this room?
Amen.
And so sometimes you are in a battle and you're in the struggle. Anybody know what the struggle is like? Anybody ever been struggling in here? I'm telling you, I've been through the struggle, amen? But there's more with me than with him. Old Slewfoot, the devil. There's more with us than with him, glory to God. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Glory to God. You got to believe that. And I love that. And in Exodus 17:15, after they won the battle, Moses built an altar and called the Lord his banner or his victory banner. Glory to God. And that's the reason even I believe yesterday was Flag Day. Anybody, I don't know if you knew that or not. And whenever we're in war, people are in war, they take territory. And what is the first things you do when you take territory? You plant a flag. You plant a flag. So what am I saying to you this morning? You're going to have to plant a victory flag wherever the shortfall is in your life. You need to plant a victory flag, because as you raise your hands to the Lord in the worship of the Lord, God will make sure that you will win the battles every time. Yes. Glory to God. And I really believe that. And fathers, you can help raise the banner in your families. Amen. By praying and encouraging your families and letting them know that God can always give us the victory in the battle. A family that prays together stays together. I love that. And so as a family prays together, you will stay together. Fifth, Jehovah M. Kadesh. And this is the Lord who sanctifies. God, our Heavenly Father, is our sanctifier. Amen. This is in the book of Leviticus. And really, it's a book about holiness. And in Leviticus, it says here in Leviticus 11:45, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Amen. And then in verse 7 through 8, it says, consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep the decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Amen. So God sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. How does he do that? He sanctifies us with his word and with his spirit. That's how he sanctifies us. And I'm telling you, husbands, you can sanctify your families with the word of God and standing strong. In Ephesians 5:25-27, it says, husbands, love your wives. It's funny that Paul told the husbands that they need to love their wives. I think husbands tend to love work sometimes. We tend to put work as something because that makes us feel like we're appreciated. Work does that a lot of times, and we're called to work. But don't put work before family. Amen. Put family before work. Amen? And he says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Cleansed her by the washing, that's where I wanted to get with, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Amen. So this is saying here that if you want to be sanctified as a person in Christ, allow the word of God to wash you and cleanse you, and every time you read the word, you're taking a spiritual bath. Amen. Glory to God. You're allowing God's word to take the crud of this world off of you, because we can get the crud of the world on us, and we need the word of God to take it off of us. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Some of us might need a good spiritual bath. Okay, we'll continue. Amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, it says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and I will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Here, the Lord is saying here, right before that, he was saying that we don't have, you know, we can't have relationship with the world. We can't go back in living a worldly life. We need to separate ourselves from the world ways. You know, at one time, we used to watch things that we never watched, since we got saved, that we don't watch anymore. You don't watch those bad movies. You don't watch rated R movies anymore with nudity in it. Amen? Is that right? Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And you don't watch those movies. Why? Because it will tempt your flesh, and you're not going to allow the temptations of the world to take you down. You're going to make sure that you're guarding your, you know, the most important thing that you got to guard in this life is not your money. It's not your health. The most important thing that you got to guard in this life is your heart. Amen. That's what we're called to guard. Why? Because out of your heart flows every issue of life. And so we got to be careful that we're guarding what we're looking at. Men, we are stimulated by what we look at. Women, you're stimulated by what you listen to. And so men are eye candy. Be careful, men, for the eye candy. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to help the guys out here. Amen. Amen. Because it can get you in trouble. Amen. And so another great name for our Heavenly Father is Jehovah Shalom. Sometimes when I answer the phone, it's just saying hello, I say shalom. Amen. Shalom. Amen. And so I love that because it's the peace of God. It's shalom is the peace, nothing broken, nothing missing, total wholeness. And I love that. And this came out of Israel's time where kings were being raised up. And the kings, you know, the kings started off, well, you had Saul that started good, but he ended up bad. And then David was a good king. And then it went downhill from there. Amen. And so they were under some kings that weren't good. And actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. But they were under judges. And so this is where in the book of Judges, where Gideon was in the wine press and he was hiding from some people, the Midianites, that were terrorizing Israel. And he was in a wine press. And this is where God speaks to him in the wine press and calls him a mighty man of valor. And I'm going to say this. When you get connected to God, God will not tell you where you are at now. He'll tell you what your potential is and where you can be at in the future. God is not focusing on how messed up you are right now. Amen. He's focused on how great you can be tomorrow. I'm going to say it again, he's not focused on how scared you might be because we know Gideon was hiding in the wine press and he was a little nervous of the Midianites and he was in that wine press and God called him a mighty man of courage. Amen. And then God gave him, God encountered him. And while he was there, it was an angel there that was representing the Lord at the wine press. And the encounter, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "Lord, this is Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I'm going to say this, the Lord is with every father in here. The Lord is with every mother in here. And he's saying, "I'm with you." And he's saying not only to Gideon, he's saying to each one of you, "You are mighty warriors in God." Somebody say yes and amen. Yes. And then he commissioned Gideon. He said, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength," in verse 6, verse 14, "go in the strength you have, save Israel out of the Midian's hand, and I am sending you." I love that. And Gideon realized it was an angel, and he realized, and sometimes back then, when they see, you know, they say you see the face of God, you can't live, and he was a little nervous. But he lived and he realized that God was speaking to him and he built an altar there and he built that altar and called it the altar of peace and or the God of Shalom. And I'm going to say this, that you might be in a scared place today. You might be in a place where you're nervous about the circumstances, maybe about future things coming, maybe about things that are happening in your life. But I'm going to say this, build an altar in your, build an altar, amen? Build a prayer closet. And in that prayer closet, bring the God of peace into it. And the God of peace will make you peaceful and you'll walk in greater faith. Glory to God. I love that. Fathers, you can be peacemakers. It says in Matthew 5:19, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Fathers, you're not supposed to be creating turmoil in the family. You're supposed to be the peacemakers. Amen? And I love this in James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. So wisdom of God is pure, peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Amen. This is what we need to be walking in. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we love this because this is the wisdom of God. Is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Yeah. So fathers, sometimes we know that you are leading the family. But sometimes you need to yield every once in a while to maybe what the spouse may desire or maybe what the kids might desire. Amen? In other words, rule and lead with peace. Glory to God. I love that. And so I love this in verse 18. the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. The next name of our Father God is Jehovah Tiskanu. Can somebody say that five times fast? Jehovah Tiskanu. It's almost like a sneeze. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Tiskanu. God bless you. And the Lord who is righteous. Amen. He's our Tiskanu, the Lord our righteous. Say, the Lord is my righteous. Amen. Tiskanu. And it comes out of the book of Jeremiah. Now I'm back. It comes out of the book of Jeremiah. This is where they had the bad kings. Amen. I got ahead of myself. And Jeremiah was dealing with bad kings and disobedient people. Jeremiah was trying to get the people to repent. And, you know, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Why? Because he kept saying, impending judgment is coming. And people weren't listening to Jeremiah. And they were being hard-nosed, stiff-necked people. And the kings were wicked, too. They didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, the army's coming. And they said, no, we're okay. And the army did come. Nebuchadnezzar came. Amen? And took away their place and took them into Babylon. Amen. And so I love this. And so Jeremiah was, you know, he prophesied and he was saying, Lord, is there any righteous? Is there anybody out there that's gonna be the righteous person? And the Lord gave him this prophecy. It says in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And this day Judah will be saved, Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, which is will be called the Lord our righteousness. I love this because when we're identifying and we're in prayer, we're praying to Heavenly Father, we need not to look at all our misses and all the mistakes that we make when we're in the prayer room. We need to understand that God is our righteousness. And it's by His blood and only by His blood that we can stand. And if He would count sins, one scripture says, who could stand? But there's mercy with Him when He forgives us. And nobody can stand, I'm telling you, none of us, but thank God that He's our righteousness. Amen. Another name for Father God is Jehovah Shammah. Amen. And that's the Lord that who is there. In other words, God, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of us. But I'm going to say this, God is always present with us. Amen. I love that. And I love that. So it's the God who's there. It's in the last book of Ezekiel. And it talks about, and the Lord is talking about about Israel being rebuilt and the finality of Israel being here on the earth and everything being all set up. And it's saying that the Lord is in Israel, but we are Abraham's seed. And the Lord is with us, and the Lord is here. Fathers, you need to always be here or there for your families. Yes. You need to always be there to lend a helping hand, to maybe I'm calling my wife and I'm on my way home from something and she says, can you pick up some milk? Sure, honey. Sure, I'll pick up some milk. Sometimes I even fill her gas tank up for her every once in a while. Amen. Not all the time though, but amen. But every once in a while. But you got to be there for your families, fathers. And God is always there for us. And we need to be there for our families. Father, always be there for your families and make sure that your family can count on you at all time. I could always count on my dad. He was always there for me. And he was a godly man and I never lacked anything. Even when I went on a date, he would give me date money. Amen. He gave me date money one time. Glory to God. I said, thank you, Dad. I think he liked the girl I was going out with. That was Yen, by the way, he liked Yen. Yen came in. Here's some date money, son. You need to get married. You got a lot of problems. Amen. He knew I needed a wife. A man that's by himself is not good. The Bible says a single man is not good. Amen. We need our late men. We need our women. Amen. Glory to God. It's a man's world. But it wouldn't be anything if I don't have my woman. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God, I know it might be a man's world, but we need all women. Amen. Glory to God. Is that right, man? Have you ever heard that song? It's a man's world. Glory to God. But it would be nothing, nothing without our ladies in our lives. Amen. Is that right, man? I love that. And so praise God. James Brown, check it out. Glory to God. It's a man's world. Amen. YouTube it after the end of the service. Amen. With Pavarotti singing it. That's the one with Pavarotti in it. Amen. Glory to God. So let me say this, that as our Heavenly Father, God, our Heavenly Father is Jehovah Rohi. He's the Lord, our shepherd. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals us. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the Lord, our banner. He's Jehovah Imkadesh. He's the Lord that sanctifies. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord who gives peace. He's Jehovah Tiskanu. He's the Lord, our righteousness. And he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that's always there with us. As we reflect on God, as we reflect on his goodness, as we reflect that we're children of the Most High God, that we can reflect on all his good attributes to us, and we can relate to him in a positive way because he's with us, he's for us, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And I thank God that he's my Heavenly Father. Somebody say, God is my Heavenly Father. And I receive him and all his names today in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And perhaps there's people here in the audience or those watching that never made Jesus the Lord of their lives. And that's the only way that you can make God your Heavenly Father is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus connects us to God and makes God, instead of our judge, our Heavenly Father. And so if you're ready to make God your Heavenly Father by receiving Jesus, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow your faith. If you're in the area, we welcome you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. Come on out every Sunday morning at 10:30. We'd be glad to have you here. We have a seat just for you. And if you're not in the area, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ so you can receive more of the love of the Father every day of your lives.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.